unexpected things. Or I should say maybe expected things that didn't happen. Yes, and we can be very thankful for that. But yet my heart is still going out to those who are experiencing a lot of stuff, the floods and the... And let's just stop for a moment and say, God, we just pray that that storm would dissipate. Father, we pray that the rain would cease, that the flood waters would dissipate, that lives would be spared. Father, that the trauma and the pain and the suffering that people are going through, our brothers and sisters, particularly in North Carolina, God, we ask you that you would come, that heaven would come down, that you would minister to them. Thank you, Lord. Restore what was lost. God, may your church arise. May we be the kingdom of God to those who are struggling now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, this has been an eventful few weeks. And in fact, this day was supposed to be Harvest in the Country at Triple R. Therefore, we planned no worship team, we planned no preacher, we planned no ushers, we didn't plan for anything because we were going to have some picnic and some fun at Triple R. And then the week changed and we had the storm come and we didn't know what was going to happen with the storm. All we knew is what was predicted for us probably wasn't going to happen, but we're grateful for that. And I was thinking even a couple weeks before that, in my own personal life, there was just so many things that were happening. We had, a couple weeks ago, we had a lightning strike into our network here at church, and it actually literally fried several computers, fried our server, did our sound system a good number. We had no internet, no email, no nothing here, and we were just like for a week and a half just really struggling with just regaining our foothold on just what was normal around here because it came out of the blue. We didn't know it was going to happen. It just happened. And then after we finally got started to get a little more stable, then the storm predictions came and we're like, okay, what do we do for Sunday? How are we going to respond to this? What, you know, is there going to be, 100 and so people here or there's going to be 5 people here? We just didn't know. And it really just a testimony in my own life and how the protection of the Lord and how even in the sense of, you know, I call them curveballs. When curveballs come into your life, what do? And I never played sports in high school unless you call marching band a sport. But I understand, Pastor Mike's shaking his head no, but I let you know that we had a big marching band. In fact, our instructor for marching band was an ex-Marine drill sergeant. The guys on our marching band were bigger than the guys on our football team. We could take them in any sport you wanted to. So it's not your typical thought when you think of marching band versus sport. But anyway, so last week, just all this stuff going on in my mind and all the curveballs. And if you know what a curveball is, it's this ball that you think is coming at you and you're getting ready to hit it and then suddenly it drops or it goes to the side. It curves out of the way and it's meant to make you swing and fail and strike out. That's what it's meant for. And I was thinking of all the curveballs that happen in our lives because curveballs, you're probably experiencing them right now. There's probably some curveballs in your life. And if you are not, I can tell you there's a pitcher that's winding up ready to throw one at you. But curveballs happen. And this week, I was, the reaction that I have sometimes with all the curveballs is I just get sort of scattered in my thoughts and I get scattered in my attention and it can be really, really frustrating. And just to give you an example, a testimony, but where I was at, I was driving back from an appointment over near Newtown and I was driving from Newtown Road, and I was crossing Virginia Beach Boulevard, and I was sitting at the red light. I was at the front of the red light, and I was sitting, and my mind was just going scattered. I can tell you, I don't know what happened, but I thought the light turned green. And I went through Newtown and Virginia Beach Boulevard, just barreling through, just took off. And all these cars were turning in front of me, and they were laying on their horn. And I'm thinking, what's the matter with you? Well, yeah, I'm going. And I looked up and saw the red light. I've never done that. And I got to the other end, and you know what happens when those things happen to your life, and you go, and then suddenly you break out in a sweat. And you think, oh, my God, that could have really, really been bad. And I realized the protection of the Holy Spirit over me and over those three cars who turned in front of me. And thanking God for that. But I realized in my life that my mind, because of all the curveballs that I felt, there was personal stuff going on, and there was just, and I felt just a little out of control. And curveballs happen. We don't control them. We cannot predict them. We cannot make them not happen. They just happen. So our attitude is, since we cannot control them, what we are in control of is how we respond to them. How do you respond to the curveballs in your life? This scripture came to mind. This is a scripture from David in Psalm 13. And this is from the Message Bible, but I love David's honesty and transparency in this. Now, give you the perspective of this. David had killed Goliath. He had killed the lion and the bear. He'd slain them. He was anointed by the prophet to be king of Israel, but at this point in his life, he was running for his life from Saul. And listen to this as David wrote in his transparency. Long enough, God, you've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough. Long enough, I've carried this ton of trouble, lived with a stomach full of pain. Long enough, my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. Take a good look at me, God, my God. I want to look life in the eyes, so my enemy cannot get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face. Now, go back here. There is some raw emotions going on at this curveball that David is having to face. What are some of those emotions? Let's just call them out. What are some of the emotions? Pain, anger, frustration, anxiety. Loneliness. What was that? Jealousy. Yeah. Fear. Doubt. Depression. Transparency. Denial. What else? Anything else? I saw one other thing in there. Fear of failure. I don't want my enemies to laugh at me when I fall on my face. Indignation. There were some very transparent emotions that David was feeling in this moment. When curveballs come in our life, the reality is it stirs a lot of things up inside of us. David was looking at this, and he was very honest, and he was very transparent to God. Sometimes I think we get really religious when curveballs come into our lives, and we start praying the nice God prayers, and we're not very transparent, even with ourselves or with God, on really what we're feeling. God is not afraid of your emotions when the curveball comes. God's not afraid of you being honest and transparent with Him. He can take it. He can take the emotions. He can take what's really happening in your life. And we've all felt these kind of things when curveballs have come. But there's another thing in here that I felt like was happening to David, is David realized that God was still with him. It just was that God had turned his face and he saw the back of his head. How many times do we know the character of God says, hey, you are still with me, but I don't see you. I don't feel you. Cannot look into your eyes. But yet, I know you're still there. And David realized that God's presence may be there, but the answer wasn't. In fact, that those phrases, long enough, a lot of translations will use the phrase, how long? How long, God? How long are you going to wait? How long until you come to my rescue? How long until you turn your face and you look at me? How long? But there's a promise in that, because it's not you will never. It's when. When are you going to come? When curveballs come our way, often we feel like we're in desperate need of an answer right now. But yet, there is a perfect timing of God, because God says maybe never is not in his vocabulary. It's just when. When are you going to come to my rescue? God, I know you will. When? How long? How long am I going to have to wait? I need you. And so David was very honest, and he was transparent, and he said, God, this is how I feel, and I don't see you. I want to look into your eyes. And that phrase there is just, it's reminiscent of the fact that in looking into him, we have life abundantly. Our life is solid when we look into the eyes of Jesus Christ. But there are moments when we don't see his eyes. And so how do we respond? Because life brings us curveballs that we don't fully expect. David, go back, please. I'll tell you when to get there. The four verses here are very much raw. And the next two verses that we're going to read are going to show really a contradiction to these first four verses. These first four verses, David is really lamenting on how he's feeling and what he needs in his life and the curveballs in his life. But the next two go beyond that, and it really is the response of David to the curveballs in his life. Let's read it. I've thrown myself headlong into your arms. I am celebrating your rescue. I am singing at the top of my lungs. I am so full of answered prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, David's response wasn't to stay in the misery that he felt. It was to look beyond the circumstances, to know the character of God, the promises of God, to rejoice in who God is, to rejoice in his faithfulness, to recount and to remember the faithfulness of God. God was the one that empowered David to slay Goliath. So God, you are there with me. And in our times when we face the curveballs of life, we can be honest and we can be transparent to God, but we have to remember his character and who he is. We have to remember his promises. And here's the three points that I want you to remember. First of all, when you find a curveball, be honest with how you feel. Don't hold back. Tell God, God, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing. This is how I feel. Number two, remember God's timing is right, and his presence remains. And then finally, let what you know outplay what you feel. That is how we are to respond to curveballs in our lives. And so today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to end today a little differently than we do. In fact, this whole day is just different than what we do on Sunday. Isn't it all right? Because God has a word for you today, and I don't know what curveballs you are facing, but I can bet you you're facing at least one curveball that you didn't see coming. And God wants to equip you to respond righteously to that curveball. So today, as we end, we're going to do a couple things. First of all, I want to ask you to get into small groups, 4 or 5 people, no more than 5 because it will get too long and it will get too unwieldy, but maybe 4 or 5 people in a group. And if, go to the next slide, please, Logan. And I want you, if God would allow you, just to share, okay, this is the curveball that I'm facing in my life right now. And I want you to pray for each other. I don't want this to be a counseling time. Don't counsel one another, okay? I want you to pray for one another. Pray for direction, peace, hope, and understanding of God's character and his presence that never changes in the curveball that you're facing. And then finally, I want you together to rejoice, to celebrate his faithfulness and his response to your prayers. If it was thanksgiving for the prayers of the past answered and a belief that God is going to do amazing things in the curveball in your life. Everything comes to pass. It doesn't come to stay. I love that. The curveball has come to pass. The enemy wants you to strike and fail. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be very much aware that this is a curveball. I don't strike at this one. And allow and celebrate the fact that he gives you an understanding that will outplay your emotions and your feelings at the moment. And so we're going to play some music. If you feel like you want to pray individually, you can do that at your seat or at the altar. But I do encourage you to gather with one another. When you are finished, this is it for today. But it's not it. It's the beginning, because you're going to go home and you're going to help somebody else walk through a curveball in their life. We're going to have the ushers are going to put our offering bags in the back. We ask you just to give as you would normally have done on a Sunday. And there's no formal closing to our meeting today. Just gather with some brothers and sisters. Use this as a template just to share, to pray, and to rejoice with one another. And then as you are finished, be released. God bless you. We'll be sending out more communication next Sunday. We're going to be here, probably a more normal service. Brad Shedd's going to be ministering to us, and it's going to be great and wonderful. And so I just encourage you all, love you all, family of God, minister to one another this morning. Amen.